What happened when I decided to follow Jesus? When did the Spirit come into my life? How do I live in the power of the Holy Spirit? Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them."
All right, good morning again, everybody. If you have your Bible, let's turn together to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And as you're going there, let me just take a minute and do a shout out to all of our venues here this morning. Trust that this is a day when you and I will sense the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives as we come back together. Also, just a reminder that our welcome class will be at both of our campuses beginning this Wednesday at 6:30. And if you're new to COD, we encourage you to come out and be a part of that. This past week, my wife and I purchased a new blender. We like to make smoothies and things like that occasionally. And our previous blender, which I think we had since the late 90s, maybe, I'm not sure, but it died. And so we found this new one. It was a great price. It was really nice. And so we were excited to see how it would work. So this past week, Karen loaded it with bananas and strawberries and other things that I don't really like to think about, that it's actually going down into my body. But you put the top on it and press the button, and nothing happened. And she's like, "Oh, did we buy a piece of junk here or something? I don't know. So we're looking around, and all of a sudden we notice it wasn't plugged in, right? How many times has that happened to us? That's a semi-senior moment at our age, I guess. And so voila, we plugged it into the outlet, thank you. Pressed the buttons, and all of a sudden we had a delicious smoothie. Well, it is a general principle of the universe, is it not, that things work better when they're plugged in? Can I get a witness on that, church, right? Whether it's a blender or a toaster or a computer, it's always better when we plug those things in. And today, we want to talk about this idea that what is true of appliances is also true of Christ followers, right? That if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, but you are not controlled by, relying on, and plugged into the Holy Spirit of God, you are not going to experience the purpose and the beauty for which God has designed you. That is a huge statement that I think I just made there. Bill Bright, the former president of Campus Crusade for Christ, and somebody who I learned a whole lot from just by his books and his messages about the Spirit, he once said this: "No truth is more important than an understanding of the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit and how to be filled and controlled by Him as a way of life by faith." Wow. And then there's this guy by the name of Bob Reedy. Anybody ever hear of him? "You absolutely cannot live the Christian life, or for the purposes of what we're talking about here, or follow Jesus Christ apart from an understanding and a reliance upon the Holy Spirit of the living God." It's so true. And yet I think so many Christians are like the Apostle Paul, that when he ran into those folks there in the city of Ephesus in Acts chapter 19, a very fascinating passage of Scripture. And he asked them, he said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they answered and said, "No, we haven't even heard there is a Spirit." And it seems crazy. And yet, you know, there are scads. And I mean scads of churches and Christians. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They believe that He is all-powerful. He's loving. He's the Creator. But they don't really talk much about what it means to live by the power of the Spirit of God. And that's a sad thing. And so today, as we come back into our series here on what it means to follow Jesus Christ, we want to talk about, for the next few moments, the role of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives as we follow Jesus. We want to ask ourselves a couple of these questions here. What happened when I decided to follow Jesus? That's really one of the huge questions we're thinking about on these Sunday mornings. But specifically today, when did the Holy Spirit come into your life and mine when we follow Jesus? Is there some kind of a second experience, a second coming of the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be in our lives? Is that true? Even though we might hear that from people? And this morning specifically, as we kind of bring our message to a close, how can I adjust my life? And so what are some of the things that I need to be doing so that I can truly live as an individual in the power of the Holy Spirit in my life? And so let's kind of go to school on some of these things here today and talk about what for me personally, you know, after understanding salvation, the truths that I've learned about the Holy Spirit, and by the way, I'm still learning these truths. these are some of the most important things that I've learned as I've learned what it means to walk with God and follow Jesus. So let's go to school in this year today. The first thing I want you to see is this, that when we follow Jesus, this is huge. When you follow Jesus, Scripture says, first of all, that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. You were baptized in the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, if you go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, in one scripture, Paul gives us, I think, a really great understanding of what this means. And so listen to what Paul says here. We'll begin in the 12th verse, and then we'll really hone in on the 13th here. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12. The body is a unit. So now he's talking about our body. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So that's the human body. That's the idea. That's the illustration Paul has given to us. Now he's applying it to the church, all right, to Christ. He says, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Number one, when we follow Jesus, we were baptized in the Spirit. Now, admittedly, this morning, there's a lot of mystery about the Godhead in some ways. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things about God that we can certainly understand in Scripture, but there are some mysteries about the Godhead. And one of them, I think, is the idea that God is one God, and yet He manifests Himself in three persons, right? And we call that what, church? There it is on the screen. We call that a Trinity, right? The Trinity is not a word that is used in the New Testament. That's a theological term that we have come up with to try to understand, you know, who God is. And so God is one God manifests Himself, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Now, I have a scripture up there from 1 Peter 1 and verse 2 where it actually all appears in one verse. And here's what Peter said. He's talking about us. He says, we have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with His blood. One of the reasons why we believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are all God. And there it is, all in one verse. That's a paradox, right? And it's hard for us to wrap our heads around that. But I don't know about the rest of you, but I actually like the fact that there are a lot of things about God that are so big that I can't really explain them. Do you take comfort in that? That He is much bigger than you and I are. And so what I want you to see is that the same Scripture that wrote this down, the same Scripture asserts that when we open our hearts to Jesus, the Spirit takes up residence in our lives. And that's what Paul is saying there in 1 Corinthians 12:13. In your notes today, I want to share with you three things that happen when you follow Jesus. Number one, you and I were immersed into the kingdom of God. Paul uses the analogy of baptism. And he says that you and I were baptized. We were immersed, if you will. We were plunged. When we came to know Jesus, we were plunged into a whole new environment of having our eyes open to spiritual things. And that's because the Spirit took up residence in our hearts and lives. That's what Paul is saying when he says we were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Number two, not only were we immersed in the kingdom of God, but we were also united with all others who follow Jesus. That's what Paul says there. He says we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. He's talking there about the church. And so now, because of faith in Christ, because the Spirit living into our lives, we have a oneness with everyone who also knows Jesus. That's why you can go to Central America and you can hobnob with brothers and sisters down there who also know Jesus, and you might not be able to speak their language, but you'll have a oneness with them. You'll sense a oneness with them. Or India, or whatever it is that you might be going, because of this idea that we've been united with all those who follow Jesus. And then a third thing happened, Paul said. He says, we're also empowered to serve Christ. Look at what it says there at the end of verse 13. It says, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And that's just the idea there that the Spirit now comes into our lives and He empowers us and leads us and fills us up. Let me just say today, contrary to what some people might teach, nowhere are you and I told to seek the baptism of the Spirit. You ought to write that down. It's a huge thing I'm saying there. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not some experience that is subsequent to conversion or following Jesus. Look what Paul just said there. He said, we are baptized when we come to know Jesus as our Savior. It's why later on in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 5, you ought to write this down, Paul says that there is one baptism. There is one baptism. And so, you know, there are not two classes of Christians out there. Right? Ordinary Christians and those who have been baptized by the Spirit. I don't like when I hear that, and I hear it from time to time. I don't like it because what it does, I think, is it divides Christians. It hurts people. You know, Spirit, look what Paul said there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 there. He says that Spirit baptism happens to all, and he uses the word all two different times. All of us, we were all baptized by one Spirit. We were all given one Spirit to drink. Glory to God. He is saying that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been baptized. You have been given the Holy Spirit. You are immersed and united with the body of Christ, and you've been empowered to serve Jesus Christ the moment that you decided to follow Him. Are you with me on that, church? That is a huge thing. And it's very important, I think, that we get this. When we follow Jesus, we receive the Spirit. And by the way, when you follow Jesus, you received all the Spirit you're ever going to get. I'll talk about that in a couple seconds. We were baptized in the Spirit. This is the second thing I want you to see here. I want you to see that the Spirit came into you to change your life. And if you say that you follow Jesus, but you have not been changed by Jesus, well then you probably do not have the Spirit. You ought to be thinking about that today, because the Spirit of God came into your life and mine to change us. To change us. Our words. Our thoughts. Even the direction of our lives. Here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. So just go one book a little bit further here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Listen to how Paul says this in this beautiful, I think, poetic kind of a way as he talks about what it means to have the Spirit. I'm going to start reading in the 17th verse of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Now he's trying to help us understand that God the Father and God the Spirit are one. That was a mistake that the Corinthians were making. They weren't believing that, and so he just kind of reiterates this here. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. And then he goes on in verse 18, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory. So he's taking us back to Moses. Remember what happened to Moses when he was there in the presence of God? He walked down the mountain and his face was glowing. Well, Paul is saying that as believers, we kind of have a similar glow about us if we know Jesus, right? That's what he's referring to there. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Wow, I love that verse. I love that verse. And so it's very important here to hear this today. While we are all baptized in the Spirit, and we all have the Spirit, we're not all in the same place in our progress of walking with God. Are you with me here, church? We're not all in the same place. And that's called sanctification. Some of us here today are allowing the Spirit of God to lead us and to teach us and to do what Paul's saying, to change us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And then others of us are quenching God's Spirit's work in our lives. We are grieving the Spirit of God. Now, each of us here today should want a deeper experience of God's Spirit, right? Each of us should desire the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. We should be wanting to grow in our understanding of spiritual gifts. We should want increased power in our lives in ministry. So we're not talking about baptism, all right? We're talking about an experience of the Spirit's fullness in our lives. And that's what Paul is referring to there. He's saying that as we grow, as we walk and go farther, we should be becoming more and more and more like Jesus Christ. Are you with me here, church? We should be changing as the Spirit of the Lord works in our lives. Why do I say that? Well, you say, are there some other scriptures that kind of help me here? Yes, there are. And I want to just go to school here very quickly. We're going to work down there in your notes through six major ministries that the Spirit of God does in our lives to change us, to grow us, and to help us, all right? Here we go. Number one, there in your notes, one of the first things the Spirit does is lead us to Christ. The Spirit leads us to Christ. You are here today, if you're a follower of Jesus, because God's Spirit has led you and drawn you to Himself, right? Here's what Jesus said in John 16 in verse 18. He's talking about the Spirit. He says, when He comes, He will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. And He'll go on to say exactly what all that means. But that's the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to help us understand that we need a Savior, to help us understand that we're sinful, that we are not righteous, that one day we're going to stand in judgment before the Son of God. And so God's Spirit begins to work in our lives to lead us to Jesus. That's why we're here today. The second thing I want you to see is this. He also guides us in truth. So once we come to faith in Christ, the Spirit then is the one who teaches us. Have you been learning new things about what it means to follow Jesus? It's the work of the Spirit in your life. Here's what he says. Jesus is talking. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He's not going to speak on his own. It's a huge line, by the way. He'll speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. Jesus said this, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And so the Holy Spirit is not someone who glorifies himself, by the way. You know, I get concerned when I run into people who are always elevating, always glorifying the Spirit. Hold it a second. The ministry of the Spirit right there is to elevate Jesus, is to lift Jesus Christ up and to draw us to Himself. and he guides us to that truth. Number three, he also quenches our thirsts. Earlier in our opening video, somebody read from John chapter 7. And this is Jesus speaking, by the way. Listen to what he says. He says, "Let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." But then Jesus added these words. He said, but he meant by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So when Jesus said those words, he was talking about the Spirit of God in our lives. You know, some of us here today are addicted to some things that are dragging us down. We might be addicted to alcohol. Or we're addicted to drugs. Or sex. Or money. Or work. Or anger. Or sports. Or a whole host of things. And what happens when somebody gets addicted is that they run to something to try to give them relief or to give them some pleasure. And so they end up running to things that are inappropriate, while God has more to give us than we have ever tasted, felt, and dreamed. So listen to me this morning. I think God is speaking to all of us here about this. I want to encourage you, take your eyes off your computer. Take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your pain and look to God and ask God to just give you a massive desire for His pleasure that is so amazing that any sinful pleasures you might want to go after, you know, will pale into insignificance. Because that's what Jesus said. It's a huge, huge verse for a Spirit-filled follower of Christ. He quenches our thirsts. Jesus, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, is one of the reasons why we don't have to run to inappropriate things to somehow get our hearts and minds quenched of our thirsts. Number four, he targets us for blessing. I love this. Romans chapter 8 actually says to us that the Spirit is helping us in our weakness, that there are times in our lives when we don't know what to pray. Have you ever had one of those times? Right? You're just kind of, you're on your knees by your bed. You're so overwhelmed with something, you have no idea what even to say to God. Look at what it says. During those times, the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with wordless groans. And He who searches our minds knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the ministry of the Spirit is to pray for us and to bless us and to help us get to better places. Number five, the Spirit also empowers us to witness. Acts 1 in verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then finally today, number six, the Spirit also is the one who takes us to heaven. The Spirit makes sure that all those who follow Jesus get to heaven. Look at what it says there. It says, you were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. And so, if you're here today as a follower of Christ, you are marked, you are signed, you are sealed, and you are delivered, and one day you will, of course, be delivered to heaven, and no one or nothing can take the place of that. The Holy Spirit has come into your life and mine to change us. I want to ask you today, do you begin each day surrendered to the Spirit? Do you begin each day worshiping God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Do you ask the Spirit each day of your life to fill you, to empty you of you? That might be the most important thing you do every day, is to ask the Lord to empty you of you and to fill you with His Spirit. You ever get on an airplane and ask the Spirit, Spirit, who do you want me to talk to today? You ever walk into a room and say to yourself, Holy Spirit, who in this room might need prayer today? You ever find yourself in the middle of a conversation, maybe a tough conversation? Maybe you need to recall something. Maybe you need wisdom. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you need the right words. You ever just stop in the midst, look up to heaven, and ask the Holy Spirit to move in your mind and to give you recall? That's something we should be doing all the time. Sometimes I do that for something as small as trying to find my cell phone when I can't find it anymore, when I've lost it. Christ followers are meant to be changed by the Spirit. It's huge. And then finally today, Christ followers are also men and women who are filled with God's Spirit. Filled with God's Spirit. Paul said it this way in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now, the common assumption, I think, for Christians is that they say to themselves, okay, that must mean I need more of God in my life. And so, you know, they begin to ask God, I need more of you. Well, let me tell you something. Scripture never says that we should ask God for more of Himself. Listen to me today. When the Spirit indwelt you, you received all of the Spirit there is to receive. And so the question is not, do I need more of God in my life? The question is this, does God have all of me there is to have? Have I allowed the Lord into every area of my life? That's the question. That's the question. About 100 years or so back when a guy by the name of D.L. Moody used to walk around the face of the earth, he was an evangelist, and he would go speaking in, you know, various cities and countries and stuff. And one time there was a group of ministers who were discussing the possibility of having Moody speak in their community. And someone said, why Moody? Does Moody have a monopoly on the Spirit? And all of a sudden there were crickets in the meeting. And some godly older pastor said, no, he doesn't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. Yeah. A lot of reasons why that was true. One of them is this decision that he made way back when he was a young man. He said, you know, the world has yet to see. It's an amazing thought here. Some of you young people, even those of us who are older, we ought to think about this. The world has yet to see what God can do through a man fully consecrated to Him, a woman fully consecrated to Him by God's help. I aim to be that person. You ever pray a prayer like that? It's part of being filled by the Spirit. And so what is this deeper experience? We should want this in our lives. We should want a deeper sense of God's presence. We should want to see the Bible and the ministry of the Spirit come alive. I pray that as I sit in that seat every single Sunday. Lord, I pray today that Your Word will come alive in our midst, that You will do things that only You can do in our midst. We should be praying that regularly. And the Bible has a phrase or a word for that. It's called the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit. And Paul uses this analogy here in Ephesians chapter 5 of being drunk. Why would he use that analogy there? Of all the analogies, why would he say, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Well, because getting drunk changes your behavior, right? Think about that. We've all known people sober, and they're a coward, but you give them a little alcohol and pretty soon they're ready to fight anybody, right? We've all probably run into people who are sober. They're quiet when they're sober, but get them drunk and they're going to talk your ear off with you, right? We've all known people who are sober, they're selfish and stingy and miserly, put a little alcohol in them, and they're ready to buy drinks for everybody in the place. Alcohol temporarily changes our behavior, releases our inhibitions, and controls us. That's why Paul says, don't be controlled by something like that, right? Don't be controlled by alcohol, because it's false, it's fleeting, and it makes you do stupid things. Some of you know that from experience. Don't be controlled by these things. Paul says, be filled, be controlled with the Spirit. And that's why I want you to get that down. Filled with the Spirit, ordinary people become extraordinary. Filled with the Spirit, regular people are able to do amazing things in the sight of God. Filled with the Spirit, you can do what God has asked you and called you to do. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. You say, well, how am I filled with the Spirit? How does that happen in my life? And I want to just give you a couple things very quickly as we kind of bring this to a close. Number one, I think we need to ask God for the filling. We need to ask God. Luke chapter 11, as Jesus talks about what it means to seek and to ask and to knock, one of the things he says is, hey, God is so amazing, will he not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I think, first of all, we have to ask. We've got to be in a place where we understand how much we need the Spirit's work in our lives. Secondly, we should confess anything in our lives that's grieving the Spirit of God. Why Paul says, grieve not the Spirit of God. Quench not the Spirit of God. I'm talking about sin there. I'm talking about things that are going on in our lives that God is not pleased with. How can God fill someone who is also filled with sin? This doesn't happen. And so there has to be a time when we confess and get on our knees and ask God for grace and to clean things out. Thirdly, I believe there has to be a surrender that goes on. The truth of the matter is that you and I will periodically crawl back onto the throne of our lives. Amen, church? We regularly do that. We put Jesus there, and then we take him back off, and we crawl back up on that throne. And so, you know, we need to surrender that to the Lord. And then, of course, I think finally we just have to then walk. When our hearts are where they need to be with God, then we just step out, and by the Holy Spirit's power, live our lives. That's why Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. It's in the plural. That means everybody is supposed to be filled. It's passive in the Greek. There's no formula. You have to just be ask God to help you be filled. And then it's interesting there. In the Greek, it's in the present tense. That means it's something we do over and over and over again. You might need to do this a few times a day, every hour of the day. It's in the present tense. Be continually filled, Paul says, with God's Spirit. From time to time, our family likes to have a fire pit in our backyard. We have one, actually, and we like to build fires in it. My wife calls me a pyro because once we get the fire going, I'm always messing with it. I'm always moving the logs, trying to get it. That's because it's so easy for the fire to die out, isn't it? And the same is true in our lives. It's easy for us to crawl back onto the throne of our lives. It's easy to be passionate for God 1 year and the next year fall on our faces. And that's why Paul is saying to us there, you know, keep the fire lit. Keep being filled, energized by the Holy Spirit of God. And that is how you follow Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.